I want to get right into it, into Half Magic. First of all, congratulations on the film.
Thank you.
It's very funny and contains a lot of truths. And I'm just going to take a wild stab here, Heather, and assume that you might have started writing this based on some of the experiences you've had in your career.
Yes, for sure.
Tell me why you decided to write this and when you started writing this.
Well, I started writing it about 7 years ago, and I had a group of girlfriends that I would get together with, and we would make wishes about things we wanted in our lives, and we would joke around and say, oh, we're like witches casting spells. And we didn't really think we were witches casting spells, but some of the things we were wishing for started happening, and it was inspiring. So I started writing it down, and then I went through a breakup, and I was really sad, and I thought, I want to find a way to laugh at everything in my life that has upset me. So I decided to write about bad relationships and how sexist I thought Hollywood was and how I had struggled for years to make movies about women and no one was making them. And I tried to find the humor in these situations.
Which you absolutely did. And it's interesting. I know you're somebody who's into, I think, you know, meditation and spirituality, and you have a lot of fun with that. But I think there's some, you know, some real belief and truth in that as well, that, you know, you send those good thoughts into the universe and find other people who kind of share that similar vibe.
Yeah, I do believe in those things, and I was making fun of it at the same time. So both are true.
All right, so talk a little bit about your character and creating it. It's not Heather Graham. You know, this is somebody who's trying to make it as a writer in Hollywood. How did you think of that character, and how much of yourself did you put into it?
Well, before I started writing the script, I spent about 8 years trying to produce movies that I would act in, female stories that I thought were inspiring and female empowering, and I had a script about the Triangle Factory fire of 1911, and I had a sex comedy script, and I couldn't get them made, and a lot of people were saying things like, nobody cares about women's stories. If you want to get a movie made, write about a man. And this was just common knowledge. Like, this wasn't just, I mean, a lot of people said things like that, and it was so frustrating, and I just thought, ugh. I'm just going to write my own script, and I'm just going to try to get my own movie made and not have a huge budget, so hopefully then I can just make it.
But of course, as you know, like as you're talking about, this was almost a decade in the making, from the moment of inspiration through finding financing, and you put together this.
It took so long. I used to go to every party I went to. I would just ask people, hey, will you finance my film? And then we had one false start where some financiers started to put us into pre-production, and then they revealed they didn't have the rest of the financing, and we had to start again with our financier. We ended up with Bill Sheinberg. So it was like a very rocky road, but it was kind of great, the timing that it's coming out now when people are caring about women's issues more than ever. So I feel like lucky that our timing is really good right now coming out.
Yeah, exactly right. It sounds like you were almost like a human Kickstarter before there was such a thing. but you bring up the fact that, you know, the timeliness. Obviously, you started working on this a long time ago, Heather. But as you've known, you've talked about, you know, the Me Too movement, and it feels like there's change happening, but it still feels like we probably have a long way to go. But this film, even though you thought of it and conceived it and filmed it before of all that, the timing couldn't be better, right?
I know. I feel very lucky, like someone up there is watching out for me, because it's like I was afraid that people wouldn't be able to take the subject matter, so I tried to make it as comedic and sexy as I could. But in fact, everyone is really ready for the subject matter right now, which is amazing.
Yeah, and we've seen more roles in at least, you know, some progress in terms of women behind the camera as well. But, you know, obviously, as you're making your points and talking about the state of the industry, you got to make an entertaining film, right? I mean, that's first.
Yeah, I wanted people to laugh, because sometimes I feel like laughter is more healing than just being angry and being dramatic. And there's something, if you can laugh at something, you have a certain level of detachment where maybe you can think of a better way to do things or find a solution.
And I want to talk a little bit about some of your castmates, including Angela and Stephanie. But first, I want to mention also, you know, your relationship with the Peter Brock character, you know, and you talk about humor. And, you know, I think if we saw the same scenes in a melodrama, they might be effective. But the fact that you approach that character with such humor, so we can laugh at him even as we're shaking our heads at what a, you know, sexist idiot he is.
Yeah, and I mean, Chris D'Elia is very charismatic, so
right.
Even though he is a jerk, he's kind of likable, and he's so funny, but at the same time, he's so sexist, and I think, to me, he just represents how sexist the movie business is. Like, he is just representative of the kind of guys in the business who have too much power, and they just are so rude and disrespectful to everyone around them.
And then you get these amazing co-stars, of course, Angela and Stephanie, as well as yourself. And the dialogue you've given all three of you is right up there with anything we've seen in any of the hard R male dominated comedies. And was that fun? Was that fun for you guys to do?
Fun. I mean, I totally get inspired by Judd Apatow and things like that. I love like a raunchy joke. And I think, you know, when I was in The Hangover and I just thought, well, they should be making movies like this for women. So this was my movie like that for women, but with maybe a little bit more spirituality and from a female point of view.
And on top of all that, you know, you've got scenes where, you know, and you've always been a brave actress. You'll do what the role requires. But now as a director, you're telling yourself, and as a writer, you're putting yourself in certain kind of vulnerable situations. How does that all work when you're on the set as a director directing yourself?
Well, it's much more scary and also much more fulfilling. So on one hand, you feel terrified, like, oh my God, this is so scary because I care about the story and elements of it are true from my own life. And on the other hand, you feel like so excited to go to work and just doing this interview with you. It's just so much more fun to talk about than just a job that you do.
Yeah, I can understand that completely. I guess we should go back for a second, just so people do know what Half Magic is all about. Why don't you take us to the beginning and just give us the basic setup for the film and what people are going to be in for?
Well, it's about these three women who become friends and just their experiences with bad relationships and sex. And just it's about sexism in general and what women deal with. Sexism in general. And my character is trying to make women's movies in Hollywood, and she works for a super sexist, sexually harassing boss.
There's some wonderful lines in here, too, and some great cameos. Johnny Knoxville. I don't want to give everything away, but let's just say that.
I know. I'm so excited he was in the movie. He's like a friend of mine, and he was so awesome that he agreed to do that.
And he plays someone from your youth, and then makes an appearance later, which speaks to a lot of the hypocrisy we see as well. And in your own experiences, Heather, I mean, you came up, you know, as a young actress, and you've been in some top quality films. You've worked with some of the best directors. You've worked in television. You've worked in movies. I mean, have you seen progress as an actress, or do you still think it's this uphill fight to get those good roles, to be taken seriously, to tell stories from a woman's point of view?
I still think it's an uphill battle. I think all the stuff in the news and Me Too and all these women coming out and telling their stories, I know that my friends that are in the television business and are saying that now people want to hire women. People want to be seen as politically correct and hiring women. So I think actually right now is a moment where people are making big decisions to greenlight stories just because they're female-driven, which I think is a first. I don't think it's ever happened before.
It really does feel like there's been an awakening. And as I mentioned, you know, you were one of the first to talk about, you know, pressures you felt from Harvey Weinstein. I mean, even 3 or 4 months ago, did you envision that the movement would become this big?
No, I just thought, okay, I'll come out and, you know, hopefully that'll be, you know, I'll feel better about myself and hopefully it'll help the other women that came forward with the stories about him. But I had no idea it would just go on for months with all these women coming forward. But all my girlfriends were having all these memories of different things that had happened to them. And I have one friend, she's in her 60s. She was telling me the story how she, in college, her professor came to her apartment and said, you have to have sex with me or else I'm going to fail you out of my class. And then she didn't, and he failed her out of the class, and she had to retake the class. I'm just like, these things have been happening to women for so many generations, and it's great that we finally feel open to talk about them.
Yeah, and I think it, you know, that's one of the things that's been interesting about this is a lot of women looking back at when they were in their late teens or early 20s and maybe not fully even realizing how unfair they were treated, and that awakening too, where people are
like, I don't think she even thought about like, oh, I should go to the college board and like, you know, get to tell them what this guy did. I think she just thought, oh, why bother, like no one's going to really listen to me.
Yeah, exactly. Half Magic, again, I want to let everybody know about the movie. It's coming out next week. When you look at these characters, I mean, we not to give anything away again, but there's a lot of good resolution. But have you thought about maybe doing full magic, three quarters magic?
That's so funny because everyone on the set would always make jokes about that. Maybe next time we're going to do full magic, you know, and they're like, why did you call it half magic? So it is a big joke that we do want to do full magic.
Well, if the reception is there, I would say, if nothing else, I would guess that since you had such success, I believe, with this first writing, directing
effort. Magic will be when I get to direct another movie. That's
there you
full
go.
Magic.
That'll feel like magic. Well, listen, again, congratulations. You did a terrific job, and I've enjoyed your work for a long, long time, so it's been great to talk
to you.
Thank you
so much. I really appreciate you interviewing me and supporting the film. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Heather. Take care now.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.